Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You can go check out the transcript of our interview as Turtle, our executive producer, put it out there on social media, what Mike asked Garth Lagerwey about Rob Valentino, and then what I followed up and asking him. And it's out there at Dukes and Bell 929. Chris Thomas also put it out there. If you want to visually look at the question and then see how he answered it. Mike, let's talk about this question that you have before we get into anything else with the NFL. And we've got a guest coming up here in about 20 minutes as well, as we'll talk to Greg Allman about all things in the NFC South and beyond. But with the Georgia Bulldogs topic of conversation this week, in front and center, right? Because they didn't move. You beat Tennessee. Big game. The committee's like, eh. And so it's got everybody wondering about where this goes and what, you know, what this means. But let's talk about the elephant in the room, because this gets us back to something that you and I have had a conversation about. But I want you to ask it.
Will we ever see a quarterback like first things first, Julian Lewis, Juju Lewis from Carrollton, signs with Deion to go to Colorado. And, you know, tremendous talent. And they, you know, made the announcement on Pat McAfee, and he's going, and that's pretty neat. Will you ever see a quarterback like that start for the University of Georgia? And now I know that Jaden Rashada is on this depth chart, and when we move on from Carson Beck and he goes to the NFL, will Jaden Rashada, the best high school dual threat quarterback from his class, be starting for Kirby Smart at UGA in our lifetime? He's 21, by the way.
So first of all, how does Julian Lewis get out of the state? He's from Carrollton. There's no way that should happen. Let's just keep it real. So, first of all, he goes to USC, and you're going to say, well, guys go out of state all the time. Own your state. Kirby's done it, and he's lost guys to Alabama over the years. I get it. He's lost guys to Florida. It happens. But, Mike, when you have the top quarterbacks, and this is the one area in which you have not necessarily mastered. You've had guys that have come in and played well for you, but you haven't had five-star after five-star after five-star that are dynamic, which is what you're talking about. Dynamic players at the position. That's my first question. The second question to answer yours is, I don't know. I'd love to tell you yes, but I can't sit here right now and tell you absolutely with the history of what we've seen.
And the thing is, what, is he too short to play at Georgia? Because he's just a drop-back passer? He's not a runner. Juju makes his money in the pocket. Doesn't Kirby kind of prefer quarterbacks that do that? I mean, I know he's only 6'1", but I think, you know, that's a talent you wouldn't want to leave. All I'm saying is, look, if Jaden Rashada gets the chance to start, yes, I'm saying the black quarterback for those who don't speak code. When are we going to see the super athletic? And again, Juju's a different type quarterback. He's the passer. He's more like Bryce Young, you know, as far as he's in the pocket. But in the case of Jaden Rashada, in case of the quarterbacks you've seen around the country, and what happened, yes, what happened here, whatever the hell happened with Justin Fields, I'm just curious. How does Georgia, number one, lose out? Why aren't they in the mix? And Julian did have an unofficial visit to Georgia, for full disclosure. But how did you miss Juju on that beat all the way out to Boulder, Colorado?
Well, he went out everywhere. And again, to go play for Lincoln Riley, Mike, it makes sense. Look at who he's putting in the NFL. It makes it, you go, all right, okay, cool. I'm going to go out there, and I get to run this offense. I get to throw it around a ton, and guess what? I might win a Heisman, because Caleb just left there and won a Heisman. That makes total sense. But that's what should be happening at Georgia, too. Those thoughts where kids are like, hey, I'm staying here. I'm going, because those things should be happening. I get it. You still have to be stout up front on the offensive and defensive lines. You still got to go recruit corners and linebackers. I hear you. But this is the one thing that gets people excited. And to be quite honest, I don't know how excited you've been. You weren't excited about Stetson Bennett, and the kid won two national championships. We thought we were going to be excited about Carson. He came in, hasn't been as exciting as we thought. This is the one element. And so to answer your question, no, I can't sit here and tell you absolutely that Jaden Rashada is going to be a guy that we get the chance to see.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, because we're talking about, you know, here's the other thing. Take the whatever's black quarterback, white, brown, or green. The dynamic quarterback. What I mean by that is the Heisman Trophy candidate.
Well, that's what I said.
Yeah, you said it. Like Carson Beck. I mean, you know, Carson Beck was supposed to be that, and he's not.
I don't want to make this about race, although to Mike's point, it somewhat is. Because we haven't seen that at Georgia with the tenure of Kirby right. And how this has played out. Justin was supposed to be that guy. He's the number one quarterback coming out of high school. Didn't play out that way. Fine. I will say there are quarterbacks that it doesn't matter what they look like that have been more dynamic than the guys you're bringing in. And you have to wonder, why are we missing out on this? And so this is the next guy. Now, Juju goes to Colorado. I got to tell you guys something. I just retweeted it. They put a video out there. Shador's handing him the keys. Right. It's one of the dopest videos I've seen. And I'm like, okay, you know what? This is perfect. This is prime. This is building up and creating a brand and an image, Mike, before the kids even take in the field. And Colorado fans are going to fall in love with him. I don't know if Georgia would have did that. I don't know what this would have looked like. So you want me to be completely honest with you? That's where I'm at on this.
Now, look, I get it. You recruited Dylan Raiola. He moves like a gypsy to Buford. And then he just, I got this connection with my dad at Nebraska, so I'm out. And that perhaps would have been one of those guys. But for whatever reason, you know, and again, we've debated how good does a quarterback have to be at Georgia to win. Well, either you're one in a million and you're Stetson. And I have to remind people about Stetson Bennett's resume and what he went through to get that job and what he had to put up with. But he was just clutch. So I'm like, do you have to have a Heisman Trophy winner? Do you have to have a guy that's everybody's All-American and he's going to be the number one on Rivals in 24/7? I don't know. But it is interesting to me that a guy in your backyard goes all the way to Colorado and this guy throws for 40 touchdowns and he's the number one quarterback.
And let me say this too. Big O, real quick, I'm going to come to you. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Because when you said, I got to ask you this, I said, oh, please do. Do not tell me that Colorado has more resources than Georgia. Because they don't. And I'm here to tell you, my sister went to Colorado. Full disclosure, they don't. Right now, they're making more money with Prime than they've ever made because of the exposure and the marketing and all that's happened. But if you're going to tell me that University of Georgia down the street doesn't have more resources and more money, Mike,
right.
You're not paying attention. So that has nothing to do with it. Big O, what you got?
There's a couple things I think in play here. One, it's not for a lack of trying with Kirby Smart that black quarterbacks don't end up there. DJ Lagoe got an offer. He went to Florida. Julian Lewis, the other finalist in this whole thing, was Georgia. He ended up someplace else. You can go through the top 100 kids, look at the top quarterbacks, and if you're a top quarterback in the country, you're going to have an offer from Georgia. That's just the way it is. Now, they don't end up in Athens. A lot of them don't, but it's
Why?
Not for Kirby.
Why?
I don't know, but it's not from Kirby not going out and actually trying to recruit these kids. I
agree with. No, I do agree with that. I don't think Kirby's ignoring them by any stretch. What I am saying is, you don't think DJ Shockley's talking to these kids? You don't think pick up the phone and call Shock and see what his experience was and how cool it was, even though he probably should have played more years than what he played and started? I hear you. You're right. I'm not saying that they ignored. That's silly. They're getting the best classes in the country. But then you say, year after year after year, why is it that these kids don't come?
And DJ Shockley, when you think about dual threat, now I guess Fromm could move. We've talked about players that have been under center that could move it. But I mean, you talk
about... Sorry, Shock, to put that pressure on you.
But it's true. It's true. You know, and it's funny because Mark Richt had the same routine. Who was going to argue with David Green, who was at the time setting all those records in
the
SEC?
The SEC win records, passing yardage. Yeah.
But DJ Shockley still had the higher ceiling. It only got to basically, and then of course you got injured, able to miss the cocktail party that year. I just felt bad that you know DJ didn't have more years as a starter. And either way, I'm sorry. I guess you know when we get down this road, like I'm the white guy bringing this up. You know, don't get my partner involved. I'm just saying, it's just curious that the superstar quarterback, whether it is white, black, green, or brown, doesn't wind up at Georgia.
Here's the deal,
look, and by the way, if Puglisi is that guy down the road out of Connecticut, and he's kind of just was under the radar too, to the extent that maybe wasn't as much juice nationally, who cares? As long as you win, it doesn't matter. But it just now we're in this world where you don't have the depth, and it really...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning
way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Seems like you need to have a really special person under center to be going and winning national championships. That's it.
And I think also, too, you say that Colorado doesn't have the resources, to that the resources that Georgia has. I will agree with you on that. But I also know, hearing from guys like Rusty and Roddy Nabolsi, like, Georgia's not breaking off that bag for those incoming freshmen like other schools are.
No,
so a guy like Julia can go to Colorado
and make more.
And, like, Rusty's site On3, they have his NIL evaluation at $1 million.
Yeah.
Kirby's not paying any incoming freshman at any position $1 million. You got to come in and you end up like a Carson Beck or a Stetson Bennett. You put the work in, you become the $1 million quarterback through the work. But they're not coming in off the job. Remember, we had that guy last year, KJ Bolden, when I showed you the article about how he left money behind to sign at Georgia if he would have signed at FSU.
You're correct. And oh, you're exactly right. I'll say this. Because Kirby doesn't have to. But when you're building and you're trying to get to the point where Kirby is, you're willing to do a little bit more. And some of these coaches and organizations and programs are willing to do that. But I will tell you this, you're also potentially missing out on what we're talking about. This is the world we live in. You can live in that fake world of we're not going to do this, or you can live in the world in which we actually live in, which is this is how it's done, and now this is where we are. And whether you want to do it or not, that's fine. But you better keep winning. And you better keep showing people that you can do this with guys that are just not as dynamic as other guys that probably should end up in your program.
Now, again, I mean, as Georgia continues to win, but as we said, the change in how football works, and we've talked about the depth issues, and that's where it seems like you need that special guy. Now, look, Caleb Williams at USC, they don't have any defense. You know, Lincoln Riley can win every Heisman Trophy winner as a coach, but he never put the full team together. So, I mean, it have to be about the style points, but it is curious that a lot of Georgia fans, even when Stetson Bennett was returning after a national champion, even Georgia fans were saying, why don't we have that dynamic quarterback?
Yeah, but the whole Caleb Williams thing, stop tripping, Georgia fans. You take Caleb Williams tomorrow if he wanted to go to Georgia.
Oh, yeah, what I'm saying. But that's the argument I'm saying. Guys were even saying, even after Stetson Bennett did something that hadn't been done since Jimmy Carter was president, even some Georgia fans were saying, I don't really buy in this guy. Why don't we get that kind of player here?
They went after Caleb hard going into his freshman year. They wanted him to come to Georgia. It didn't work out then. He was in the portal afterwards.
Yep.
They went after him again.
Oklahoma and then to
Georgia went after him again.
To USC. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 A Game. And then we can move on, Mike, but I'm glad you asked me. I'll say this.
Yeah, I was something I just said off the air to Carl. I said, well, hell, I'll just say it on the air.
Yeah, I'll say this. And NFL Blitz, guys, as always, is brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. We will talk to Greg Allman here in less than 5 minutes coming up. We have real conversations with you. I'm sorry that your other radio shows don't. We do. And if it includes elements that make you a little bit uncomfortable, sorry, not sorry. This is what we do. And we do it privately, and we do it on the air. And this is where it's at. And so for those of you like, why are you going to bring race into it? Because that's what part of this conversation is.
It's just curious. I mean, here's a guy. Look, one of the more dynamic quarterbacks who's from Carrollton, Georgia, is going to play for Deion. You know? And it's funny. I love these. Remember these coaches that were all saying Deion? Oh, Deion. Pah, pah, not the way I do it. Remember Coach Venables out at Oklahoma? Well, I didn't tell my guys I brought Louie. I kept them all. Good luck. You're on the hot seat now. How's that working out for you? Oklahoma hasn't won a big game in 3 years. How is that working out for you?
You're not winning enough.
You're throwing shade at Coach Prime. Yeah. Coach Prime just landed a huge recruit out of the state of Georgia. And we say this about, and you said it earlier, how did Lagway wind up at Florida when Billy Napier, even a year ago, still wasn't exactly the hottest commodity?
Yeah. All right. You guys can chime in if you want. Don't be mad at the players. Just be mad at the conversation. 404-726-0929. We're coming back. Greg Allman's going to join us next. We're talking NFL on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. We are glad to have you here, even though you might not like the conversation at times. What did our buddy Rusty Manziel say?
Hey, man, I reached out to obviously the king of recruiting, the man who knows everything, and I said, hey, what's the story? You know, why wasn't there more, work on Juju? Because he did have an unofficial visit. He visited the campus in Athens. Rusty says he wants to know the path at Georgia is way too deep. Says also he stayed in the class of 20. Had he stayed in the class of 26, probably ends up in Georgia. Says when he reclassified, that changed the whole dynamic. We're talking about the star recruit for Deion Sanders at Colorado, who's signed there with the Buffs. Says Georgia is at least three deep in that battle if they don't bring another portal guy for an open competition. And he says, hell, I don't blame him. He's the favorite the day he enters Colorado's start, and he'll play certainly from the jump. I'm just saying that, you know, we've seen, and other guys on Twitter, and we don't call it X, and on the text line were saying, you know, yes, both guys, both sides. We've seen guys come in when there's a full depth chart and win a job, and other guys be scared off from the depth chart. And nowadays, certainly guys, you know, don't deal with that. They just go to another school. They transfer out if the depth chart gets too big. But Jaden Rashada is a dual threat. This guy is a pocket passer. We did talk about that earlier. I'm just curious. I'd love to see what Jaden Rashada is all about, considering Florida was willing to pay him a king's ransom to not play there.
More on this coming up. Right now, let's talk NFL with Greg Allman, Fox Sports NFL reporter, guys. Covers the entire league. At one point, he was just covering the NFC South, so he knows all about our Falcons. And I want to start there, Greg. Thanks for joining us. Listen, the South still feels like it's the Falcons to win and that they're going to win it. But what you've seen as of late, the last 2 weeks specifically heading into the bye week, it gives you a reason for pause, doesn't it? What concerns you the most about the Falcons?
Yeah, I mean, just losing as convincingly as they did to the Broncos. Broncos are a good team, good defense for sure. But to lose as emphatically as they did, not the way you want to go into a bye. It is still theirs to win. I think the Chargers, you know, coming out of the bye might be tougher than the Broncos. So what they've done is they've kind of given – it's probably just the Bucs that they're dealing with, but they've probably given the Bucs a little bit of hope. The Bucs have to change the way they're playing. They've lost four in a row. They're playing some of the worst defense in the NFL. But they do have, you know, an easy seven games to finish the year. So it's kind of kept the door open. But Atlanta can take care of things just by winning the games they're supposed to win.
Greg, we've maybe been too high. We're too close to it. We get too high when we throw for 500 yards. We've shown the ability to run for almost 300. We thought we had a really good balance. But it just seems like with our defensive limitations, if this offense isn't scoring 4-plus touchdowns, we're just not going to win down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's one of those where, they've had games where one half is clicking and not the other. You think about the Broncos game. I think you can put an asterisk on the defense there just because there's the colossal amount of people just out and not playing, and eventually that's going to catch up to you. But I don't think too many of them are long-term injuries where you get a week of rest. A lot like the Bucs, you'll come out of the bye a healthier team, better for it. They've got probably three tough opponents left out of the remaining schedule, and if they you go even 3-3, I think they're in pretty good shape there. You don't want to leave the door open. They got that tiebreak over the Bucs, so even though they're up one game in the standings, they're really up two.
Right.
But again, if the Bucs kicked, the Bucs next three are Giants, Panthers, and Raiders. You know, we're all teams that have benched their quarterbacks that are struggling to a bad record. So they've got three easy ones coming up. So if they take care of things, it puts a little bit more pressure on Atlanta, where they're in their rearview mirror at least. If they can play like they have against the Bucs, against other teams, it won't be an issue.
Bye week came at a good time, I think. Greg, let's talk about some other things going on around the league. I am looking at Daniel Jones deliver a statement today, basically saying goodbye. I appreciate the Giants and the organization. he's not crying, but he is issuing a statement. He knows his career is over there. So where are they going? Obviously, this was the injury deal where they don't want him to get injured so they don't have to pay him. But where are the Giants going now that they have benched Daniel Jones?
Yeah, I mean, right now it's Tommy DeVito. It's one of those where a couple weeks, had a couple weeks as a starter last year, won a couple games. I don't know that he's going to change the trajectory of their season, but, he try and get a spark. I feel bad for Drew Lock. I think Drew Lock went there thinking he'd get a chance if things didn't work out with Daniel Jones, but he's kind of also the odd man out there.
You know, it's funny, the Jets fire their general manager, which is basically just, to make some headlines, and Woody Johnson's a putz, and, you're not accomplishing anything other than embarrassing a guy. But what's up with Shane? Should Mara and the Giants reset at head coach and GM there?
Yeah, I don't know if Shane will get hit. I mean, I worry about Brian Daboll if things don't turn around. I think this, if anything, going with DeVito seems a little bit like I'm not sure how many losses I can take. Mm. So I think if I don't know, he's a guy that's at a risk of being fired in season. But if they're, you know, they finished last in their division. I think they had expectations of being a little bit better. I think, you know, you look at, I think the Daniel Jones contract kind of put them in a bad place where they could have, you know, you look at what Bo Nix has done in Denver. They certainly could have taken Bo Nix at six. Malik Nabers is a great receiver, but they still need a quarterback. So they're, you know, I guess a franchise that has a lot of things to address. Sometimes you just want to reset with quarterback, but there are a lot of franchises now that you bring in a new quarterback, you want to have a new coach that's kind of brought in specifically for him, and everything's in lockstep that way. I don't know whether that would carry over to the GM or not.
By the way, just on the heels of that, so who's going to get the Chicago job once Eberflus presumably gets got?
Yeah, I mean, that should be, honestly, I mean, I know Chicago's disappointed, but I mean, that should be one of the more coveted jobs if it comes open. You know, I think they're in a tough division, but I think to have the talent, you have a young quarterback you can build around, and Caleb Williams, obviously some offensive talent between Moore and Odunze and some of the other people they have there. You know, it seems like one of the more of the jobs that are likely to come open seems like one of the ones that's probably the closest to being at least a playoff team. So, no, I'm curious to see who they get. I would think they'll be one of the top of the tier. You know, if there's seven or eight openings, it should be one of the best two or three there in Chicago.
Look, I think Doug Peterson is also gone, but how much blame do you put on this quarterback? Because they paid Trevor Lawrence. This hits home for a lot of Georgia folks because he's from here, and we watched him, and then he went to college at Clemson. But he's not lived up to it. And so as Peterson is on the hot seat, I put as much blame on the quarterback. What about you?
Yeah, they're in that tricky limbo where there's no middle class for NFL quarterbacks. So it's kind of like if you have a guy – I mean, Trevor Lawrence at least has taken his team to the playoffs and won a playoff game. That's a lot more than some of these $45 million quarterbacks can boast. You know, Daniel Jones is one of them.
Sure.
I think you get to this awkward limbo with a quarterback where you have to pay to keep them because you know how hard it is to find one. You put a number one overall pick into a quarterback, you want to keep them. But no, like you said, it's not like he's responded to that contract with amazing football. There's a lot else that's wrong with the Jaguars, but I think Peterson's out there. I am surprised as thoroughly as they got beaten by Detroit. I'm surprised. I think the fact that they didn't make a move Monday suggests they're going to ride it out till the end of the season with him, at least.
Greg Allman is with us, guys, NFL insider for Fox, knows the division, knows the NFC as well. But real quick, just to double down on the Jags, we've seen articles saying that Shad Khan wants Belichick, and then some people say it's time finally for Jerry Jones to break the glass and bring Belichick. Where do you think Belichick – first off, do you think Belichick's coaching? If so, where next year?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how coveted Bill Belichick will be. I mean, he was available this past cycle, and Atlanta's the only team that talked to him. So – I do think he's a guy that could have a job. We just did an exercise where we laid out 10 candidates and where they might land. And I put him in Vegas, honestly. I think Vegas, if they move on from Antonio Pierce, will want to make a splash hire. He's got Brady there as a minority owner. That wouldn't surprise me. He's got histories with half the teams are going to have openings. If Cleveland fires somebody, if the Giants fire somebody, the places he's coached in the past, if he wants a reunion, I mean, he needs – it's going to take more than one season for him to get this wins record and catch up and get the most wins by a coach all time. So he's got to go somewhere where he can try and get that done, you know, in 2 years and not four, or it's going to be kind of a painful last act for him wherever he goes.
Greg, what do you think of the Chargers? They play the Ravens on Monday night, but then we get them out of the bye.
Yeah.
I want to know what you think about the job Harbaugh's done and how good you think they are.
Really impressed. Jesse Minter, as a defensive coordinator, as a first-year NFL coordinator, as a number one defense in the NFL, is doing it with some late-round rookies in key positions. I like what they've added in the run game. You know, I think Herbert, everyone worried with losing Keenan Allen, losing Mike Williams, and I think he's played really well and played at a high level. You know, McConkey's done well. Johnston's done well. This is a team that, you know, the AFC West, because you're in the shadow of the Chiefs, it's easy to get overlooked. But with them at 7-3, we were asking kind of which of the Harbaugh-led teams is the bigger threat in the playoffs right now. If Atlanta can go and win against this Chargers team, it will really solidify things for them. I don't think there's any shame in losing the way they're playing right now. The Chargers are, especially defensively. This is just, I mean, you think about if you're scoring 6 points against the Broncos, the Chargers are a much tougher defense. And even, I mean, you get a bye week, you get an extra week to prepare and get right. But that's a tough team. I mean, that's probably one of the toughest teams they have left on their schedule. Still the Vikings, I think still the Commanders maybe. But no, it's a tough team and looks very much like a playoff team and a dangerous wild card coming out of the AFC West.
It is a Greg Allman, guys, covering the NFL for Fox Sports here on Dukes and Bell. Yeah, I was just going to ask you about, you know, we even if we screw things up 7 ways to Sunday, 9 wins, we still probably win the division. And it could be the Commanders and it could be the Vikings, who we're both going to see. Do you buy the Vikings with Sam Darnold to make noise in the postseason?
I don't know about that. That's a good question in terms of how sustained their success can be. Because, Darnold came out of the gates and maybe the first month of the season looked like an absolute steal. And it's been a little more uneven since then, I guess. I think Brian Flores has done a great job with that defense there. I think of them as still a dangerous. I mean, the NFC is a little bit more, you don't have a – you look at the AFC, and it seems like there's such a top tier right now with Kansas City, with Buffalo. I think the NFC side of things, Philly has come on for sure and has played well. Detroit's probably the team to beat. But Minnesota would be in that second tier. I mean, a team that should be, they're going to have Detroit stumble for them to be a division champ. So they're probably just a really good fifth seed. You know, I think they'll probably be favored on the road wherever they go against the worst division champ in the NFC. And then by then they're in the division round, and it'll be a kind of a toss-up from there. I think they're still a dangerous team. I don't know if they're like a conference championship team, but I think they're a get-to-the-second-weekend and scare somebody their team.
We always appreciate you jumping on with us and the insight, and you guys can follow him. He's covering the entire NFL now. Of course, he did for many years just cover the NFC South. Fox Sports NFL reporter Greg Allman. Thanks so much, Greg.
Oh, you guys take care. Have a good one.
You cool. Too, man. Chargers is going to be a tough out. Did you guys hear what he said, by the way? I'm just going to throw that in there. Do you guys know who the defensive coordinator was? He was in college with Harbaugh, mm-hmm. Right? He goes there,
right?
And he just said it. They probably have the best defense. I would tell you Steelers, but Mike, statistically, the Chargers are better.
Right. And we just saw what the Broncos could do to us. Now we get the Chargers out of the bye week, and now we're going to see, as head coach for the Falcons, how is Raheem Morris? What's his record going to be out of the bye week? Because some teams, remember Dan Quinn? Nobody would lose more out of the bye week than Dan Quinn. It would drive us crazy.
Oh.
So let's hope that we get our ish together. But again, that offense better establish the run against the Chargers. Otherwise, it's going to be a long Sunday.
Yeah, man. No man's on the way. Also, Barbara Dooley in less than 25 minutes from now. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell. Coming up, Barbara Dooley's on the way. We're going to talk dogs with her. It's UMass this week, but we got to find out what she thinks about this college football playoff committee. Stay right there, and you will in less than 15 minutes. Right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, what is going on? Happy Thursday?
Yes, sir.
Thursday.
Well, we always say that the players listen, and that was proven on the latest episode of the New Heights podcast with Travis and Jason Kelce.
Mm.
They got into it because Jason was talking about his affinity for going on our sister station, WIP, in Philadelphia.
Right.
Hi, Carl, as we always used to play that drop all the time of Angelo Cataldi on there, the former morning show host. So Travis apparently had no idea what WIP was. Then Jason spent the next several minutes on the podcast explaining how it's the pulse of the fans and
right.
The athletes listen and they put it on in the locker room.
Wow.
And that guys like Bryce Harper have listened to criticism and used it as motivation for him to play better on the Sports Talk radio channel. Okay. So, yeah.
By the way, it didn't work for us with the Braves this year.
Well, right. Well,
back to you, Chris.
Might have something to do with
kill the mood.
Air. But anyway. So yeah, man, no man. Do you buy that the market can be this big of a factor when it comes to athletes and how they're looking at themselves and their careers? Because I think that sort of proves it, what Jason just said.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, it's funny because for years when Carl and I knew Carl for 20 years before we worked together. And I was like, nah, these guys never listen. And Carl's like, they do, man. And then, it was about 10 years ago. I'm like, wow, they really do. I just thought, they don't give a crap. And now between this and social media, they do. They listen. Like, we always joke around, watching, judging, listening, seeing it all.
Kirk Cousins said he was in town for years and listened to our radio station. He just didn't say that to make Mike and I feel good.
Right.
He said that because he said, when I was in season, even in Washington, think about this. He says, I couldn't listen there because they would always be talking about us. And so I during the season, I couldn't talk. But during the offseason, we'd come to Atlanta, and he says, I'd have 92.9 The Game on. And we're like, oh, thanks, man. That's cool. They all listen. And whether you want to believe it or not, whether you think they give a damn or not, whether they say or ever admit it, I'm telling you they do. And that's great that he explained to his brother what the deal was. Right. And listen, some markets are different than others. But this idea, like for years, and I had to learn this the hard way because I would say things about guys and then again, I'd run into them and they'd be like, why'd you say that about me? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Mike, the deal is they are more in tune now, to your point, than they ever have been. I think in years past where people said, man, don't read the newspaper. Well, okay, you didn't read the newspaper. Guess what? You got 50 million things coming at you now as a professional athlete. And so you're going to see something. And guess what? Whether it's Mike and I on digital or there's a snippet of us saying something about somebody or there's a post, I can't believe Dukes and Bell said what they said, you're going to see something. And whether it's good or bad, the fact is they know that. And, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, I'm not trying to talk about anybody's mom or their wife. I want to know what you're doing on the field. Judon.
Right.
He's another guy. That's why we called out Matthew Judon. I don't know if he got back to him, but I'm sure it did, and he's still not done a damn thing. So I hope at some point Mikey steps it up.
Yeah, look, some guys, we've had the conversation. So it's funny, some Falcon fans, and we've talked about this with some Hawks players, they get a kick and they appreciate the fact that we're actually, you know, paying customers. Well, Trey doesn't care. I don't play for him. But, you know, but in the case of many guys, they do get a kick that we're not eating the free pizza up in the press box. We're actually invested as fans. And, you know, some guys it doesn't matter. But it is true. You know, I'm with Carl on that. I never believed it, but now we're seeing it, and especially now with the younger generation and social media, even more so.
Mike, never forget, you, sir, are a garden tool.
That's what they told me.
Yeah.
I still have the T-shirt. I got the shirt. I don't get any money off that.
All right. This is interesting.
Could you tell me why, in God's name, you called his mother a garden tool?
Exactly. Erin Andrews has been at this game for a long time. She's arguably one of the best to ever do it as a sideline reporter. She's made a really nice career for herself, and she's not really one to make controversy. She's taken slings and arrows for videos and stuff that's been out.
Well, yeah, she has some creep with like a fiber optic camera in the keyhole of her hotel room.
Right. So, but other than that,
or not even the keyhole. I guess it was for the IP thing, right? Because
that's right.
Because nowadays everything is a card.
Right.
How the hell did that guy get that video?
I don't know. Yeah. But other than that, she's had a relatively quiet career in terms of off-the-field stuff. Well, she decided to fire back. And honestly, I say good for her. Because apparently, last week in Tampa, she had the Bucks and the 49ers game. And it was hot on the field. So much so that even though she was wearing a tank top-style shirt, she was perspiring a lot. And some fans and viewers noticed. And they went online and accused her of going through menopause.
Oh.
Who are these? You know, and we just talked about why would an athlete be on social media? You know but who are these people?
Wow.
I mean, again, I'm not going to paint with a broad brush. I'm no better than the person taking shots at Erin Andrews. But it's like, really? I mean, a beautiful woman doing a great job, and that's what you come with? That's what you throw out there? You know, it's crazy.
So, yeah, man, no, man. She clapped back and said, it's a full-blown sweat in need of a shower. shut the blank up. I've been outside for 5 hours. Enough already.
Right, it's hot. It's Tampa. It's 100% humidity. What the hell?
So, yeah, man, no, man. Do you like the thought of her, you know, sticking up for herself online, or should she just ignore the trolls?
Bit of both, Carl?
It's hard. Yeah, man. Look, it's hard to ignore that kind of stuff. And by the way, I mean, honestly, it's none of your business if she's going through menopause or not. And at some point, all women do. But that's like nowhere in my imagination to think that I'm watching Erin Andrews. And at some point, I'm like, wow, she's sweating a lot. Mike, I think she's in menopause. Who the hell does that?
But it's funny because, you know, you and I've had this. Sometimes I'll come in and I'll mention it in guy talk. You know, I'll post like an innocent picture of me and the dog somewhere at the dog park or, at, you know, anywhere. It could be a Chick-fil-A. And the stuff you get from folks, even just like an innocuous photo, right? It's one guy, Chris, the other day, he's like, man, your lips are really chapped, bro. Like, what are you, Susie Chapstick? I go, seriously.
Why are you looking at my lips that closely?
You're the lip balm police. I mean, you're like, sometimes I'm like, literally, you're almost like, you shouldn't even bother with it. There's no point.
Yeah. I love that she did clap back, but she didn't have to. I'm sure Erin has gotten a lot of BS.
Right.
Through social media, through her time of being on, and she's done a great job. But yeah, man, I just more surprised at the idiots that actually are sitting there. You're watching a game, and that's what you're thinking about? Wow, honey, she's sweating a lot. I wonder if she – who the hell's doing that? I'm just not invested that way.
There's a lot of creeps with some Cheeto dust in their mom's basement that
see,
have nothing better to do.
See, now you're when you label someone Chris, you negate them. Ray Nitschke said that.
You know what? Don't listen to him. Do not listen to him.
All right. Oren, get me some Burt's Bees.
And by the way, and before somebody tweets, that's Nietzsche. I know, I'm just being a Weisenheimer. Everybody's so literal these days, too. That's why with Twitter, you put a joke out there, you really have like cliff notes. I feel like I'm Dennis Miller sometimes in some of the stuff we do.
Do not listen to Mike, man. Good stuff. He'll be the first one to call somebody a creep.
I will say this. Sometimes you just look like when what's his face from BYU went to the Jets, the former quarterback. What's his name?
Zach Wilson.
He just immediately, to me, he looked like a guy that would run with the Cobra Kai. I mean, the bad Cobra Kai, not the, you know, the updated one.
Yeah, not the new one, right. Not the TV Netflix version. All right, guys, coming up, Barbara Dooley's going to join us. We will get her thoughts on where Georgia is, and does she still feel like they can get it done? Winning it all. That's what we're talking about. Barbara Dooley joins us next.